You just made it weird.
You just made it weird.
That's what I mean.
You just made it really weird.
No names were mentioned.
How many sweaty guys asked us to ride a bull that weekend?
Not us, you. I ain't getting on
the edit to sell.
I'm not getting on no damn bull.
Okay, if it sounds like there was a jump in the conversations because I just edited out a bunch of nonsense.
Damn it.
Accordingly.
Aphone.
It's A-F-O-N-E-E. Aphone.
Aphone.
That's how your name is spelled and pronounced, damn it. Don't try to
See,
correct me.
I call you Anthony.
I know it's your name.
I call you Anthony. A-N-T-K-N-E-E.
Or just Ant.
Yep.
At least everybody calls me Anthony.
Anthony.
That's because they're redneck.
That's for my sister.
I guess y'all could tell, by the way, we have our producer.
Oh, is it recorded now?
See the red bars?
Oh, okay.
When it's in the red, that's what we mean. That means we're recording.
Cool.
Hi, Aphone.
Now you're going to freeze up.
Now I'm going to freeze up.
It's like...
Hi, Aphone.
We got Anthony here jumping in to do this intro with us. We had a good show tonight. Is this episode 70?
Episode 70.
Man, 100's right around the corner. We're already preparing for it, too. Was it you that asked me the other day if we're planning some big stuff for the 100th episode?
I'm planning big stuff.
You're planning big. Oh, excuse me. I forget. I'm sorry. I'm just a host. I just need to host stuff. I don't need to plan anything.
See, that's why I like being the co-host. All I have to do is like run the Instagram page.
Because I told you to.
Because
exactly.
You told me to.
Chris High Five.
Well, we're sitting here in a little... semicircle around the computer, and we have to turn the air conditioner off to do this because it interferes with the microphones. It just sounds like the whole time. And right in the dead center, my dog's laying here, and I don't know what he's gotten into because I got him groomed, like, officially. Like, I paid money for people to wash, bathe, and clip him, and he smelled good, I don't know, up to a couple days ago, but right now he smells like an unwiped ass. And when we started talking about him and how bad he stunk, he walked over here and laid right here in the middle of us. Like, oh, you like that? Speaking of this weekend, I don't know if this probably isn't going to air before tomorrow night, so I probably should say, man, y'all missed a great show. But tomorrow night we got a big show at the First and Last. If you go on Facebook, me and Robbie went to WMUW radio station Wednesday night.
Yes,
what's today?
Sir.
Friday?
Today is Friday.
We went Wednesday night and did like a radio interview, like an actual, you know, tune the knob radio thing. But we also, for the people that weren't in the area and could get it on the radios or had one, we did a Facebook Live of it too, so you can go out there and check it out. There's a part one and a part two, and it's got a lot of hits, so go check that out. If this comes out after the show, you should have been there. Because I really don't think I'm going to get this. I mean, I've got tonight, and then tomorrow we're practicing.
All
and
day.
Tomorrow at night is the show, so this will probably come out Sunday.
We're starting practicing an ungodly time, too, by the way.
Yeah. Well, I guess I shouldn't complain. I mean, at first I was like, what? And then I was like, well, at least this lineup of Killjay is ambitious enough to... And they... Man, they get... I'm usually the last one to practice, and I live 12 feet from here. like Steven will show up. If he says practices at 11, he'll be here at like 9:30. Like, I'll wake up to drums.
That's
how I know we're having practice. I'm like, oh.
Look, challenge accepted. Yeah. You might not be the last one here tomorrow. That's really early. But like you said, I'm glad that they are that dedicated to want to get together and start practicing running through the set.
Well, we're going to get into the stuff that we got going on this episode. This is going to be a big episode because we've got two interviews. But before we do that, since we've got Anthony here, I want to talk about something very important that we have brewing, pun intended, right now. How's the mead doing?
It's I checked it today, and it stopped the bubbling.
But that's not good. Is that scary? Or are you okay with
it? It's actually common. I mean, it happens.
Okay.
So
it happens to lots of guys.
It happens to lots of guys, and it is a big deal. it's called a stall fermentation. I think that's what they call it. But I'm gonna give it a couple of days and see if it picks back up. I know it's not finished, so if I have to, I'll throw some more nutrient and energizer booster or whatever you want to call it in there. I got some goodie gumdrops I can throw in there to make it pick back up, maybe.
So mead, for the people listening that don't know, and I think it's so fitting that we brew a batch of mead. I feel bad we haven't already, because we play Dungeons and Dragons, and you know, if you're at a bar in medieval times, isn't that what you're drinking anyway?
Yeah.
Or a dwarven spirit.
Dwarven spirits. or ale.
Roll a 10-sider to see if you pass out after drinking one of those. Wow, that got nerdy.
A little bit.
The main ingredients in mead, and there's a million different ways to make it, I'm sure, but it's basically, correct me if I'm wrong, water, honey, and yeast.
That's it.
Because there's enough sugar in the honey to where the yeast eats that
that's all you need.
To make the alcohol.
Right.
So what would make it stalled? Does everything settle or something?
It just I'm not really sure.
To get lazy?
First meat.
We got some lazy yeast?
From what I understand, the yeast and the type of sugar from honey, it needs a nutrient and it needs a booster to help it along.
What exactly is the booster? What is that?
Was that a secret? The technical term?
Well, I mean, what is in a booster? Like,
that's technical? I have no idea. I just know it's the little bottle that says booster and the little bottle that says nutrient.
Well, I can tell you this from my Mr. Beer Kit days, chuckle, chuckle. That booster was just basically sugar.
But this is how I done it. I went to Yoda. Yoda said,
if Beer Yoda said it, then
said, you need this yeast.
Then that's what you need.
For a dry mead, and you need this, and you need this, and it costs this. And I said, okay.
So both bottles that you did of mead are both dry?
They're both dry. I used the same yeast on both.
Okay.
And the gravity was within, was very close together.
What's the time period?
It should take about a month, and it's only been about 10 days. It's about 20
Houston,
days.
We have a problem.
Yeah, we have a problem. So
I think I just need to go over here and drink some, I'll tell you.
It's got alcohol in it. Yeah. I mean, I'm going to rack them into another container tomorrow and see what happens. And I'll test the alcohol content on them and see how much. I know it was should it be. I know it should be, and I'll see where it's at, and I'll go from there.
Now, are we going to carbonate this, or?
I got 2 1-gallon containers. So my thought process was to, when I bottled this, I was going to bottle it to, so that's basically 8 quarts. So I was going to do 4 quarts, and 4 of it I was going to age. Half of the 1 gallon of it I was going to age, and just let it like you're supposed to. And since we're impatient and want to drink
right now,
I was going to say we can drink 2 quarts.
Okay, and well, let me ask you.
2 quarts we can carbonate and see how those go.
Let me ask you this. If we were in medieval times right now and we were at a tavern and we were drinking mead, would it be carbonated?
No, it would not.
So it basically would be more like wine than it would be beer.
Exactly, be like wine. It would be wine.
When did they start carbonating beer? Like during the Trappist monk eras?
I think, kind of like. This is technically a wine. This is a honey wine. We're going to probably...
Well, the monks were trying to make wine when they invented beer.
We're going to hit about a 14% alcohol on this.
I'm listening.
It's going to be about 14% octane when it's all said and done.
Well, we're going to keep our interested listeners updated on the process of our mead. And I think we should sample it on the air when it's ready.
Definitely.
We can do that.
I think we should. Yeah. I think we owe it to our listeners to let them know how good or bad this turns out to be.
Right.
We're always honest with them. And speaking on progress of things and being honest, went to my mailbox today, and guess what was not in there? I'll give you one guess.
Comic books.
Comic books.
Dang it, DC. Come on.
Hey, and look, you know, I thought about this today. I'm certainly not bashing DC. I mean, I'm a DC guy. These are my dudes, man. But they're totally, like, not hooking me up.
Dropping the ball.
Yeah, April the 11th. turned in my subscription, or I started my subscription, and it's now...
Chrome buzzer? No, that's a truck, sorry.
Now it's the 26th of May. And I still haven't got a comic book, so...
And your dog still stinks.
He does, man. We need to hurry up and get to this interview so I can...
You see how I'm doing this, this...
He's living up to it.
Well, you saw what he did when you tried to get him to go outside. Yeah. That's what he does to me when I'm in the house. I'm like, you go outside? And he just stares at me.
Yeah.
And then I walk to the door and open it, and he'll be standing there wagging his tail. And when I open the door, he'll just sit down.
He's living up to his name.
That's his way. Yeah. That's his way of saying yeah. Nope.
I've got my ninja mask going on.
He's living up to his name.
Yeah.
Yeah, he must have got into something. He smells rank.
It's bad.
Well, aside from having a smelly dog in the room, we do have a good episode. We've got Elbow by Ellis Clements from Arcadia Comics, Toys and Collectibles. We're going to talk to him. We've also got our good buddy Ray Van Dusen from the Monroe Journal. As always, we had a good time talking to him. I had a blast, man. When I went and edited that interview today, and I was laughing so hard I forgot about. Well, I won't spoil it, but there were some funny moments in there. Because, you know, with Ray, we're just having a big laugh every time we get together.
It was good to see him.
Yeah, as always. And he's got some cool stuff to announce. Again, I'll let the interview speak for itself. So why don't we just jump into some of that? We got almost 12 minutes of us bullshitting here.
Let's go for it.
About mead and smelly dogs. Maybe we need to call it Smelly Dog Mead.
Smelly Dog Mead. That's the name.
Let it be so.
Are you looking to reach a wider audience? Are you looking to get your name out there? Are you looking to go to the next level with advertisement? Well, think no more. Advertise with us at Kill Punk
Culture. Just tell us a little bit about your business and leave the rest to us. We'll build you a state-of-the-art commercial to be played every episode.
We're only going to take on about one or two more sponsors, so be sure to grab these slots up before they're gone.
We have plans to fit any budget, and we can build a commercial for any type of business.
Email killpopculture69@gmail.com today.
All right. In typical Monday night fashion, we got the TV going, waiting for Monday Night Raw to come on. We got the grill fired up already. We got some cold beers. And we have the owner, or should I call you the president? The El Presidente of Arcadia Comics.
I'm here.
Am I saying that right? Arcadia?
Yeah, it's Arcadia.
Oh, Elbow.
Close into it.
Yeah.
Do you still go by Elbow? Is it okay to call you Elbow in public?
I see a couple people that call me that every once in a while.
That's all I still call you.
You'll answer to anything, huh?
I'll answer to anything.
Well, man, I guess first of all, we need to say thanks for opening a comic book in Amory, Mississippi, a comic book store. It's been a few decades since I've been able to go to Amory and buy a comic book. Tell me a little bit about how all that got started.
Well, I'm not good cooking, so I couldn't open a restaurant. So I couldn't open a comic book store. Everybody else is opening stuff, more eateries in Amory than they are.
So, hey, you might want to sell grilled cheeses in comic
books.
Grilled cheeses. You know, you can't go wrong with food in Amory either. There's a lot of fat people like me here.
Yeah.
So didn't you start an online store?
Started an online store. Yeah, we just grew from there.
How long you been doing that? Like, about how long ago did you start the online stuff?
About 6 months ago. But yeah, my wife told me we had to get out, the stuff had to get out of the house.
Was it always your plan to go to a retail store, or would that kind of come later, or did you always want to try to do that?
They come later. It was just, I wanted the most. I got into buying the Funkos. I got more Funkos than more people than would imagine. I probably got 300 to 400 right now.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, those are really popular right now.
Yeah, they're really popular. Mine go back from probably when Sharknado come out, and I got up-to-date stuff. I got mostly, you know, Batman stuff, and I was like, man, comic books. I'm selling these things online, so let's try comic books. So I told my wife, I said, let's try this, and we did it.
How long have you been open, what, 3 weeks now?
This will be my third week open.
Of course, we hung out at Tupelo Comic Con. I had no idea at the time that you were fixing to I open a retail store. Gosh dang, this microphone. Don't worry, this is pre-recorded. I can edit out all our bullshit.
Let's go.
If we had money, I could afford a good microphone stand that didn't start sagging when I was talking into my mic. It's like slowly trying to escape me. Maybe it's because it's trying to get away from my bad breath or something.
It's steadily going down.
They're still doing it.
Yeah.
I need some duct tape on this bitch.
Mine's got duct tape on it.
Yeah.
Well, you got the good one then.
I got the good one.
You got the good one. It's the one with the duct tape. We treat our guests well here. I ain't trying to brag, but you get the duct tape treatment around here at Kill Pop Culture. So you were telling me earlier, you know, others aside from the, what do you call the little?
Funkos? Pops.
Aside from those, you've got, of course, comics, and you said you had like several hundred Magic the Gathering cards too, right?
Oh, yeah, I have several thousands of those.
And you were telling me earlier before we start recording that people are still into the Pokemon, the Yu-Gi-Oh.
I probably have about 2,000. Pokemon cards, Yu-Gi-Oh cards. I don't know. I got like 200-300 of those right now.
But what's some other things you're looking at wanting to try to get into? Like, you gonna sell some D&D stuff? You gonna have some 20 siders?
I got some 20 siders at the shop. Yeah. If anybody wants some 20 siders,
man, you can't have too many 20 siders until you start slipping on them when you're walking across the floor.
Yeah, that's when you. It's time to put them up. Yeah.
We got a bunch of them behind the bar over there.
Yeah.
I looked at somebody asked the other day, they wanted some D&D stuff. There's just so much out there. I mean, if you look at the books, I mean, there's so many D&D books out there.
Yeah.
You just got to be.
There's so many different versions.
I mean, what edition are we in? Is it like 6th edition now?
Yeah, I think 6.
Yeah.
And they change it every time. Of course, I'm more of an AD&D guy. Which would be D&D 2, I guess.
Yeah.
A lot of people nowadays, they don't know what a Thaco is. Thaco, what is that? One thing I was wondering, because like if I owned a comic book store, this would be a constant struggle for me. Like, how can you separate between your collection that you keep and the comics that you need to sell? Isn't it tempting when you get some comics in to go, ooh, I kind of want this one? But
yeah,
I kind of probably need to sell it too.
I just got in the other day. I just got an Iron Man in. They had just limited 25 prints of this cover.
Hmm.
Yeah, I sent it off to CGC to get this and graded. And I'm hoping for a high grade on this. I got the Witcher back the other day. It scored a 7.0. I should have brought it and let y'all see it.
Yeah.
It's really cool. The only reason it got a 7.0 is somebody laid it in a beer or something. It's had a bad back on it.
Well, we were talking about this. I was talking about this with Rush, the big comic book vendor that had the big corner at Tupelo Comic Con. I was talking to him about grading, and it's basically like there's no such thing as a 10.
No.
Like, it would have to be perfect. Even if you, from what I understand, if you walk up to the comic book press at the factory and pick up a book as it came off the press, it's like a 9.5 or 6.
Yeah.
And I think he said he's seen a 9.9 before, but that's like, you know, a unicorn. It's a unicorn grade.
Most of them are like 9.0 or 9.5, 9.6.
I normally don't have this much trouble with my microphone. I mean, it always wants to sag on me and act crazy, but...
It's too far out.
Yeah.
Scoot it back toward the tape.
That's good right there. I want the stand like way over there. But anyway, I don't get that. I need some damn duct tape is what I need. What was I talking about?
Grading.
Yeah. And I think a lot of that is like, but I guess my problem with grading a comic book is I'm a reader as much as I am a collector. So once you get it graded, you can never read it.
You can't read it.
Yeah.
So but
if you wanted to read it, then get it graded, it's a piece of it.
You can ask Mark. I've got a couple of comics that I'm scared to even take out of the plastic. I want to read them.
Oh, they'll know. If you read it, they'll know.
I want to read it, but it's
like this copy's been read exactly 3.4 times.
Yeah. To be able to turn the pages and stuff. It's crazy how they deplete in value just over something minor like that.
We talked a little bit about your I asked you about your private collection. Like, what are you, like, what titles are you into right now? What are you collecting?
My stuff's just the weird DC right now.
Are you keeping up with all the DC shows and stuff like that?
No.
You don't watch any of them? Flash or
no, I don't watch Flash.
Gotham?
No. I did start watching the Iron Fist. I made it like 2 episodes and I had to quit.
I haven't watched it yet.
Yeah, it was...
I've heard a lot of mixed reviews because I really like Gotham a lot, and I really like The Flash. I watched Arrow for like the first 3 seasons, and it started kind of, I don't know. It's tough right now for shows because there's so many, you got so many options. Like, there's so many good shows out there now. It's not like the old days where you had 3 channels, and
yeah.
If a show was on, you had to watch it.
You had to watch that one.
There's too many choices. And
I would be more watching the cartoon animated series.
Oh, that got some good ones.
Oh, yeah.
I don't like the live action.
The animated movies are great.
Yeah.
Oh, and that squeaky thing in the background.
That's nice.
You like that?
Yeah.
Are you talking about the little oven thing?
Yeah,
Sean.
The oven. Yeah. The oven.
The oven thing.
Sounds like you're in like Texas Chainsaw
Massacre. So what are your goals right now for the store, other than obviously the obvious selling stuff. Like, do you have any plans on, like, have you thought about, are you going to do any, like, host any tournaments, or are you
yeah,
set up for that?
Yeah, we're looking at the tournament deal right now. Because I've had a lot of kids come in wanting to play Pokemon.
Yeah.
And I had one guy about Magic, but it's kind of hard playing by yourself. But the Pokemon deal, we'd probably do more Pokemon tournaments if I can fit anybody else in the store.
Yeah. Too bad you can't set up some kind of, like, gaming consoles, too, and do, like, online gaming tournaments, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really popular. I know there's... one of the, well, everybody probably still remembers Gundog Comics. That was the...
Yeah, I remember going there.
Their big thing was tournaments. Like, they would have tournaments all hours of the night. And I guess that was their bread and butter from what I gathered, was doing all those. They did everything. I think they did D&D, and they did the console stuff, and of course a ton of Magic stuff, and...
That was yours.
Now that I've zeroed in on it, I can't not hear it.
You want to turn it off?
Yeah, please. Just unplug it, because I'm not cooking anything on it now. All right. So what is your, what's like your top selling toys right now?
Comics. Man, we're selling comics. More comics.
More than the toys?
More than the toys.
But on the little guys, I keep forgetting what is that called?
Pops.
The little Pops, like, what's the most popular characters right now?
Right now, anything, if it has a Chase sticker on it, you want to sell it.
What's that?
Chase. It's a rare one. You get so many out of a 6.
What makes it different?
It would be painted different. You know, it's just however.
It's like a variant cover, but for a toy?
Yeah.
Huh.
Right now, those.
What's your take on variant covers? Because I'm sure you remember, we're close to the same age, you're younger than me, but back in like the 90s, if they did a first run, especially DC, it was just a regular comic, and then if they did a second run, like if they started running low and they saw it was still selling, they would do a second pressing, and they'd stick a little Roman numeral 2 under the number, and then a Roman numeral 3, 4, and I think the Death of Superman got up to like some crazy, like... E equals MC squared or something Roman numeral like. But now the thing is, like, change the cover and re-release it.
Yep.
So I don't know how to feel about that, because it's a clever way to make more money, but I think they go overboard with it, don't you?
Yeah, it's way too much. I've got a couple of them right now. It's just... And the thing is, like, if you're a collector, you're going to want the first one.
Yep.
The second one ain't worth 2 cents. Basically,
yep.
It's just best to read the second one and put the first one up.
I was showing Jerm the other day an order I got in of All-Star Batman, I think.
All-Star.
And it was like 15 books, but it's technically only 3. Because it was all the variants of those three, the first three. Like, it was insane.
Yeah, I've got a couple of Superman. This got that. He's died at least three or four different times.
Right.
It's just.
Yeah, that's another thing. I can't keep up with what's going on anymore. Like somebody, and I won't spoil it because it's like a new thing, but Tim was telling me today that some big character is fixing to, he just got killed off or is fixing to get killed off. And I was like, how many times has he died now? You know,
yeah.
So
yeah.
I'm not that worried about it. So
they always bring him back.
Yeah, and what's weird is what they're recognizing and not recognizing as far as canon with the new 52 now that Rebirth has happened. And I was a little confused about Rebirth at first because there's things like Detective Comics and Action Comics, which is following the same like number scheme, but like Batman, Superman, and all the other main titles rebooted, like this is Volume 3.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's Volume 3 Detective Comics. It's Volume 3 Batman. Or I know Action Comics is up to in the 900s or maybe even 1,000 by now. Well, so I don't really understand. I haven't fully wrapped my head around Rebirth yet. That's something I need to research.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure it's just I've had a couple of Rebirth comics. I think they sold quick. I don't think I have them anymore.
Well, it's really popular, man. It's crazy because, again, I sound like an old, back in my day. But, like, the older comics were just automatically worth more because they were older.
Yeah.
But now it's like brand new comics that just came out. If you go on eBay and look them up, if it was like popular and people liked it, the story, it's going to just shoot way up there. Last time I looked, and the new 52 started in 2011, so it's not like decades old or anything. Like Batman number one, I'm glad I got a couple copies of that because you just about can't afford one now. Detective Comics number one, the one with the Joker, his face on the cover, and then the big pyramid like mountain of dolls, the baby doll heads. I've got several variants of that, and it's pretty crazy how much those are worth, and they're not even that old. It's kind
of
weird.
Yeah, there's a lot of new stuff that's really coming out. Like all the Walking Dead, you look on eBay for that.
Yeah,
you're going to pay $50 for just one issue, and it's not even worth, to me, it's not worth $50.
Well, and yeah, and we talked about this before we started recording, the crazy prices on shipping now through eBay.
Right.
It's just ridiculous. And that's another reason I'm like really glad there's a store close by, so I can just text or email you my wish list and just go pick it up, and I don't have to worry about shipping because I'm just driving across town. So that's really cool.
Yeah, shipping has got out of hand.
I mean, is it as bad for like the people like you, the retailers?
Yeah,
I mean,
it's still real bad.
They still really rip y'all a new one too.
They rip me one every day.
It's like it's almost like they're trying to gear it towards the bigger like they're really making it difficult for the small like small town comic book store because you have to do such bulk volume. And because I know you get like a big discount on shipping once you've sold, like, especially on eBay, you've sold like hundreds and thousands of items, then all of a sudden you get a big break.
You get a big discount.
So it's tough on the new guys and the small guys.
Yeah, that's like the stuff I was telling you, I get from California. It's pretty expensive shipping from here to California.
Yeah.
But I'm through this new place I'm getting the cards from. I got a place in Atlanta they ship me from. And I think St. Louis was the right. That's real close here. So, I mean, they're a whole lot better than shipping besides the California deal. That's just very expensive.
Yeah.
And that's where most of the Funko stuff comes from is California.
And you were talking about your Funko stuff. Oh, excuse me. You said you've got so many different varieties of things. What are a few of the different varieties that you got? You said you got a lot of Batman.
I got a lot of Batman right now. It's exclusive. There are different colors. I have a lot of Batman. I have a good bit of DC stuff. I have some Walking Dead. That's, you just can't go and buy these anywhere.
Do you have some Doctor Who stuff?
Doctor Who is so hard to get. It's just like Wolverine. You can't get Wolverine.
Right.
You want to be on a waiting list for like 2 months for Wolverine stuff.
That's one thing that my wife's says that she wants one of those Funkos, but she wants a Doctor Who. But she's specific. She wants a David Tennant Doctor Who.
I think Kellogg gave me a David Tennant. It's on my bookshelf in my office. But I don't know what brand it is. Like, if it's Funko, like a brand?
Yeah, Funko's a brand.
But the Pops, it's the same type thing, but it's a different brand.
Different.
Okay, I'm not up on my toyness. I've actually got a few
Bubbleheads.
Like, I've got an original 1977 Darth Vader, but it's a restore, which basically, like, you know, Kenner put them out in 77, the company Kenner, and you buy a lot of them, they're loose, but then some people will go back in and get the actual card and the bubble thing and put it, like, back in, which is, but it still makes it worth more. It's obviously not worth as much as an original in the pack, but it's worth more than one loose. But I've got Darth Vader, and I've got an original Darth Maul. I've got a couple of Stormtroopers. I've got an Emperor. I like the bad guys. That was my thing. Like, when I was a kid watching Star Wars, I was like, I know you're supposed to root for the good guys, but the bad guys, like, they look cooler. They got cooler, like, armor and weapons and makeup and, like, friggin' Darth Maul, like, saved the, you know, the original trilogy.
Yeah, exactly.
Or the original...
I think I have Indiana Jones, bad guy. The guy burned his hand in the first one.
Oh,
yeah.
I got him. I still got him in his little cardboard backing and everything.
Oh, hell.
Huh.
You don't see many Indiana Jones toys out there anymore.
No.
Like, when I went into your comic store the other day, I was focusing on comic books. So that's my thing.
Yeah.
I walk in there, and I'm looking at comic books. And, you know, I mean, you walked up to me and, like, spoke, and I was like, hey. Kept right on going, but... I need to actually pay attention to some of this Funko stuff because you never know what you might have that might be worth something one day.
Yeah, so I was telling Mark I got some. I mentioned I have some of the Sharknado stuff. That stuff's, you can't get no more Sharknado. Sharknado's been vaulted, and that's like some of the Star Wars stuff. Some of the Star Wars stuff.
It's been what?
Vaulted.
You can't buy them no more. They've been just pulled off the shelves, or they're gone.
Huh.
I have all kind of stuff that's safe. But yeah, I have, like I said, I buy about 300 in my collection. And I got, when I started buying them, I bought one. I thought my kids were crazy. I was like, man, I'm buying these ugly little things. Then it hit me. I was like, shit, these things are cool. So I bought one. I think I bought Harley Quinn was my first one. Here you go, Mark. Check this.
Oh, wow. Now, is this a picture of...
That's my collection.
Oh, that's yours at your house.
So look at the difference between the Harley Quinn one and all the other ones. That thing is huge.
Yeah, yeah. She's a super size.
Is that She-Hulk? Yep.
Yeah, the She-Hulk and the Colossus is in there with her.
Why is Deadpool wearing a cowboy hat?
That was a convention exclusive.
Oh. Then these things really are like comics.
Yeah.
Because, like, you know, you'll have, like, a Comic-Con original variant cover.
Yeah. Like, if you see, like, there's some up here at the top, they don't make, like, 3,300 pieces. Like I was telling Jeremy, the Harley Quinn, there's 150 of those made.
Wow. That's pretty awesome.
And that's...
And they're sets, too. Like,
yeah, they're sets. You see, I got my
Bullseye
Marvel
and Daredevil together.
Yeah.
And you got the Civil War set with Iron Man and Captain America. We need to post this online so that people that are listening to this go, what are they looking at? I can't see. Well, I'll tell you what, it's getting kind of hot in here. I'm going to fire this air conditioner back up. Why don't we take a break and then come back, and I want to talk to you some more about, like, where to find your stuff online. All your social media, do some plugs and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, let's take a break real quick.
All right.
I wanted to take a minute to tell you about our good friends and sponsors of this show, Shadow Stalkers Paranormal from Amory, Mississippi.
This isn't your average paranormal thing.
Shadow Stalkers is a nonprofit group that hosts fundraisers for families in need, and they also host fundraisers for historical sites.
Their fundraisers and paranormal investigations are open to the public, and they encourage everyone not to just watch, but to join in.
Look them up on Facebook and feel free to shoot them a message if you have any questions.
They are here to assist you with any paranormal needs you may have.
That's Shadow Stalkers Paranormal. Go search for them on Facebook and check them out. That's Shadow Stalkers Paranormal. Go search for them on Facebook and check them out.
And
action.
And we're back. As soon as I said back, I hit my damn microphone stand.
Okay, and this is not, action.
This has not been a good day for this microphone stand. One thing I wanted to ask you before I forgot is...
am I naked? Yes.
Well, that's the good thing about it not being a video medium. Is, what's your store hours? What days of the week and times are you open for those in the area that need to come by Arcadia Comics? Or no, it's Arcadia Toys and Collectibles.
Cool. Yeah, yeah. So we're closed Sundays and Monday. We're opened up Tuesday 10 to 6, Wednesday 10 to 6, Thursday 11 to 6, and Friday 10 to 6, Saturday 9 to 3.
Right on. And if there's any of our listeners that are not from the area that want to check out some of your stuff online, are you still doing the online store stuff as well?
Yeah, well, I have an eBay store, but I don't think I have one of my eBay stores, the Funko Pops. So I don't have any comics on there because it's really, I mean, who wants to ship a comic book? But if you really want to ship a comic, I mean, I'll ship it to you.
Yeah.
But just, I wish I'd have brought a card. I could have told you the address to my Facebook.
I like that. You don't know the address of your store.
No.
That's awesome.
No.
It's on the corner of Main Street.
If you know where Frisco Park is, you can find the comic store.
If you know where the 10 Tom Inn is, it's across from it, sitting catty-cornered, basically, in the intersection.
You got any big plans going forward for the future?
Yeah, I was. I had a guy come in the other day. They're trying to put a little convention together in Oxford. He kind of wanted me to come to it. No, it's like in September. I have no idea what it was called. The guy told him to come in. It was pretty cool. But, I mean, right now we're just trying to work on getting new comics in. That's what I'm looking forward to.
So you're going to try to keep doing the cons as well?
I like to try to do the cons.
It's a lot of work, I could imagine, especially for somebody like you. Like us, like we just go set up a couple. Yeah. We set up a laptop and a couple of microphones, but you have to, like, tear down your inventory more or less.
Yeah,
and box everything up and take it somewhere and set it back up.
Yeah, it was a pain. The first one we did, it went smooth the way we had it set up. But I thought my wife was going to kill me there for a minute because she wanted to set the shirts up on a rack, and I'm like, that rack don't look too good. And she's like, well, it was pretty bad the first 2 hours of the thing, so I thought I was going to be dead.
And I imagine it would be difficult to, like, do a con and also have the store open at the same time because you would have to, like, share inventory with each one. And it'd be like, hey, I want this one. Ah, damn, it's at the store.
It's at the store.
Or somebody comes in the store and I want this. Damn, it's at the con.
And the guys next to me had that problem. They were selling the used games, and they had that problem. He's like, oh, I want this in here. And it's like, oh, it's back at my store. He said, I can't. Come to the store and get it.
So what do you do in that situation? I mean, is it more advantageous just to take a day off and close the store and say, hey, come see us at the con, or just try to navigate through it?
You'd have to probably try to navigate through it because everybody's probably going to be at the con.
Yeah.
I don't know what I'd do on that deal because I'd have to take somebody with me to the con because.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
When we broke down, we had that wire mesh deal we had set up, and we were told that that day, like, you got to be here at 4 o'clock.
That's an interesting thing right now because cons are so big. You know, I guess if you had a storefront, you could almost kind of capitalize on that and have some people do appearances at your store. You know, and it, that brings people in. You know, it's advantageous to the person that's making the appearance because they want to sell their comic book, and right. It's advantageous to you because people show up to get his comic book and they're potential customers for your.
Right, just advertise the heck out of it, and you've got it made.
Yeah,
yeah, and like podcast stuff.
Yeah, well, if you ever want some podcast people at your store, we know a couple of guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you want some people to come to your store and do like a live feed and make a bunch of adolescent jokes and stuff, well, we could probably find somebody. Cool. Well, man, I appreciate you coming by and talking to us for a little bit. I had a good time. Yeah. This is going to be episode 70
of
Kill Pop Culture. Everybody, if you're in the driving area of North Mississippi, you need to come check out Arcadia Collectibles and Toys. Am I saying that right?
Cool
Collectibles and Cool Collectibles and Toys.
Yeah, we're 215 South Main Street. We're beside the old Nasty Hotel.
By the way, I have the Tin Tom people on the line, and they are not happy. Like, I heard that shit you said about us on that podcast. It's true. I don't think, but I didn't like it.
I don't think they talk like that at all.
No. All right, well, we're finna get out of here, man. We're gonna watch some wrestling. We're gonna eat some. What are we grilling tonight?
Chicken legs.
We're gonna drink some scotch. Thank you,
Anthony. I like
Anthony.
That idea better than the chicken.
All right, that was our good friend Elbow from Arcadia Comics, Collectibles, and Toys. Up next, after the commercial break, we're going to have our good buddy Ray Van Dusen live in the studio.
Those new band shirts look awesome. Where did you get those done?
At Anarchy Design.
They do screen printing now?
Oh, yeah. They do professional custom screen printing at a very competitive rate.
Well, where can I find them?
Look them up on Facebook. Facebook.com/AnarchyDesign69 or email them at AnarchyDesign69@gmail.com. You can check out some of their work on their Facebook page. When you're ready to order, you can send them your idea or they can design it for you. It's a one-stop shop for all your screen printing needs. That's AnarchyDesign69@gmail.com. It's a one-stop shop for all your screen printing needs. That's AnarchyDesign69@gmail.com.
All right. We're doing real good with in-studio stuff lately. No, you know, I may get so spoiled that I don't want to do any more call-ins. I like this face-to-face stuff. We got our friend Ray Van Dusen from the Monroe Journal back in here today. How you doing, man?
Good. Thanks for having me again. I think this is number three.
This is the second time you've been on the show. It seems like a lot more than that because I've done so many interviews with you for various things over the years, and I always tell people, like, yeah, you're my favorite person to have interview me because you make me sound way more intelligent and creative than I actually am.
And I've told you before, I think that you're one of my favorite people to quote, too. You've always got some good things to say, especially when Killjay has a new album coming out. Where's that bell, by the way?
Yeah, with the shameless promotion bell. I remember one of the first interviews I ever did with you. It was on one of our earlier albums, and we met at the Mexican restaurant. And you had your notebook like you do today and your pen, and I felt kind of bad because I'm such a blabbermouth. Like, you'll ask me a question and I'll talk for like 20 minutes and you were trying to keep up and you're like writing really fast. And I was like, I hope I'm not like giving you too much. You're like, no, that's what I want. Like, I want to be able to have something to pick from. And I guess I kind of, you know, use that same kind of thing with the podcast because I'd rather have too much than not enough.
Oh yeah, no doubt about it.
Well, tell us a little bit about what you hit me up about this thing y'all are doing, and I definitely want to promote that. You know, me being the ultimate opportunist, I want to. If I'm going to have you out here, I'm going to interview you for Kill Pop Culture too while you're interviewing me. But tell us about what you got going on this summer.
Well, yeah, what we do every summer is we put out a magazine through the Monroe Journal called the MC. And this year, it's going to be actually coming out the last Wednesday of June. And it's going to be, as in recent years, more of like a lifestyle magazine, really catered to Monroe County. And what brought me here today was actually featuring Kill Pop Culture as one of the stories to go along with a couple other podcasts that we're featuring. But it'll be kind of cool. We're really looking forward to it. I mean, it's one of my favorite projects of the year, really. This is going to be more of like a lifestyle, home and garden kind of magazine, but we got to always try to slide some entertainment in there when we can.
For sure. Awesome. I've become a huge fan over the years of the, and y'all used to call it, or may still do, the Tab
but it's like the program or magazine for the Railroad Festival mm-hmm. that comes out in the paper. And, of course, I would get it because I was in it to start with. But then I would get to read it, and I was like, man, this is really interesting. Like, and as I was saying before we started recording, that this is something that even though it's for the Railroad Festival, there's a lot of history stuff and a lot of interesting things that this should be out there where people can get it year-round, you know. And it sounds like this is kind of what you're doing with this thing coming out this summer. It's not just something exclusive for that time, but it's something that's relevant for whenever.
Yeah, it's pretty universal. Pretty well in the course of the year, we're going to have like four magazine kind of things. We got one for the Aberdeen Pilgrimage, the Amory Railroad Festival. We do the Summertime MC Magazine and the Holiday Edition MC. But, you know, the cool thing about the Summertime Magazine, like, people can tell me, well, we really like the pictures and we really like the stories, but the biggest compliment that anybody can give me was, I have no idea that's actually here in Monroe County.
Right.
So,
yeah, exactly.
I think it's going to be kind of cool this year because I think you're going to have some really good stories like that. Like, hopefully, if the weather cooperates tomorrow, I'm going to do a photo shoot with somebody who's built a house out of 5 shipping containers. And that's pretty awesome.
Yeah. That's in Monroe County?
Yeah. Hey, that's the biggest compliment. You haven't even seen the article yet. Hey.
Full circle right there. There you go.
And then Judge Mike Mowski, who oversees City Court in Amory. Like, we actually went to his house just a few weeks ago. It's insane. He's got, like, basically his property, the best way that I can describe it is like a botanical garden. And he's got, like, I think 4 or 5 different houses out there, like a meditation house. It's insane. So we got some really cool pictures out there.
Getting his zen on.
Precisely. But, yeah, it's I love kind of documenting things like that. So we're already kind of getting some ideas together for next summer's magazine. So I'm hoping everybody really enjoys it. We really enjoy doing it.
I can't wait for it to come out. When did this whole thing kind of start? Did it start with the Railroad Festival tab and go from there? Or at what point did y'all go, hey, aside from just doing the newspaper, why don't we do a magazine too? When did that... Well, you know how many of you've done so far?
Well, let's see. Since I started in 2009 with the Monroe Journal, they were actually already doing the Railroad Festival and the pilgrimage sections. Mm-hmm. But I think it was in 2010 or 11 when we first started the Summertime magazine. And it's really grown from there. I mean, when it first started, like, we would pick like 10 or 11 people in the community and just do one-on-one interviews with them. But it's really matured and it's really evolved more into like a garden and gun, Southern living kind of magazine. So it's definitely something that we're proud of.
Is it kind of flexible on when you want to release these, or is it a set, like, we got to have this one out by this time and this one out by this time, or do you have a little bit of play? Like, is the summer one just got to be out in the summer, whereas the Railroad Festival one, it's got to be out by the Railroad Festival.
That's
obviously.
Right, that's
so
right.
So do you have a little bit more leeway with the other ones?
Not really. I think, like, the biggest mistake that I made was back in January. I told one of my coworkers, I'm tired of being bored. I'm ready for some things to start happening. And I seriously have not had time to think since then. Because, I mean, it's been one special publication after another. So we always try to put this thing out sometime, usually in June. But we have pushed it back to the end of July. But usually we've got to have everything done about a month before it comes out due to deadline and production and everything. But, yeah, it's always going to come out at some point in the summertime. But the crazy thing about it is the holiday issue comes out the last week of October. So we've got to have all that done basically in September. So we've learned to go ahead and start dealing stories about Thanksgiving and Christmas while they're in season. So, I mean,
while it's hot outside.
Exactly. But, yeah, I mean, like, basically with a holiday magazine, it's done a year in advance. So
time travel.
Exactly.
Yeah, we definitely have to deal with a lot of that. Now, I'm going back in history here and trying to remember. And at one time, Amory had its own newspaper, and Aberdeen had its own newspaper. I'm trying to remember what the Aberdeen was called. The
Aberdeen Examiner. And the Amory Advertiser.
And the Amory Advertiser. At what point did they just push those together, and was there anything other that came together to form the Monroe Journal?
That happened in, I believe it was April 2008, which was a year before I started. And we've had our growing pains. There's advantages and disadvantages both ways. Mm-hmm. I mean, the bad thing about Monroe County is you're always going to have that Amory and Aberdeen rivalry, no matter what. As often as we would love for people to play nice with each other, it's just not going to happen.
No.
4 generations ago, it didn't happen. 4 generations from now, it's not going to happen.
That feels in the McCoys.
Exactly. So we're just at times stuck in the middle, but we try our best to have as good of a balance between Aberdeen stories and Amory stories right. as best we can. So, I mean, the way that I look at it, whatever's good for Aberdeen is good for Amory exactly. and vice versa.
Yeah, we're all drinking out of the same trough here.
Yeah, precisely. No doubt about it. I like the Monroe County Chamber of Commerce, the former director. I mean, he realized that, you know, we definitely need to work together as a team. So that was like a hashtag campaign that he had going was hashtag One Monroe, just trying to encourage some unity between the cities. So
one interesting thing that I get asked a lot, and I get to ask somebody else, because it's funny how similar the two things are in this aspect, is how technology has changed the way we consume things. And what I get asked a lot is, like, you know, how has it affect a musician, whereas you can get everything online now,
mm-hmm.
and the digital versus the physical. And I, you know, it's kind of the same way with newspapers. You know, back in the day, that's how you found out about everything. Well, now, you know, everybody finds out about everything online. Has that affected the way y'all do business? Do you go along with that and embrace that? I know y'all have a website.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think is that ever going to change, like, permanently, where people are just going to do only digital? Like, how do you navigate through physical and digital in your world?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely, I wouldn't say a new territory, but it's an evolving territory for the newspaper industry altogether, and even the magazine industry, to be honest with you, because, I mean, definitely, like, the way that internet has killed, like, record stores and stuff like that, I mean, definitely it's hurting the newspaper industry as well. And, I mean, it is great if we got breaking news that we can just instantly put it out on the website, especially since we're a weekly paper. I mean, yeah, no doubt about it. If something happens on a Tuesday, you know, 7, 8 days later when you get the paper, yeah, it's going to be old news for sure. But I don't know. I don't know what the future holds. And, I mean, that's a question that's been asked in a lot of newspaper circles across the globe, no doubt about it. I think that with a small town newspaper, though, I mean, I don't think we're going to be in jeopardy of losing our newspaper at any point because of that.
Yeah.
But when you look at cities like New Orleans, Birmingham, places like that, you got some pretty good-sized newspapers that used to print 7 days a week, but now they're down to, like, 3 days a week.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's the thing. But, you know, the parents are always going to want to see their kid's picture in the paper. They're always going to want to clip out those honor rolls.
Mimi's auxiliary meeting coming up Thursday.
Exactly. So, I mean, we're always going to have that kind of stuff, for sure. So.
You make a good point. I mean, I guess this is one time where the advantage is to the small town.
Yeah.
Because you're right. I mean, that's never going to go away. You're never going to, well, I'm not going to say ever, but you're not going to hear a lot about something in Amory and Smithville and Hatley and Aberdeen on the national news.
Anywhere else. Like, you might be surprised, to be honest with you.
Maybe the bad stuff.
Yeah, we've had some
stuff. Yeah, I just changed this. I mean, if you really want to get, you know, detailed information about the small town you live in, I mean, I guess that would never go away because that's where you would get it.
Yeah, that's the only place. But, yeah, it's insane that you say that because, actually, it was last January. We had 2 stories go international within the same month. And, I mean, that was insane for that to happen. Yeah. So, from little old Monroe County, Mississippi. But it happens.
Yeah. And unlike in the music world, you see all these record labels just closing shop. And well, the whole landscape has changed as far as digital versus physical. But you don't really hear of a lot of newspapers just calling it a day. They're still okay. They're still there and hanging in there. So.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, there's been a lot of downsizing in, like, the Memphis paper. I think, like, Chattanooga and Nashville, they've had some pretty big cuts to their staffs up there. A lot of what's going on is media consolidation, mm-hmm. and that really hurts.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I think that, you know, the more chips that you put in the game, I mean, the more it just dilutes the product.
Yeah.
So you just kind of lose that sense of ownership. You look at AT&T, I mean, they've they're grabbing up everything possible.
Oh, yeah.
And, I mean, I can definitely tell it in the internet service, my cell phone service that I have. So. Oh,
yeah. Yeah, don't get me started. There's going to be a lawsuit against Kill Pop Culture on the slander that I'm giving AT&T because of my internet. Before you came out here, I was on the phone with AT&T about my internet.
Yeah. It's a constant battle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could write a book on the things I've gone through with internet with
this,
them.
I call this cell phone hell. It doesn't matter what kind of cell phone you have, you're not getting service out here.
It's a dead zone.
Another question I want to ask you about the paper in general real quick is you have a lot of subscribers that take the paper. You know, they call in and do like a yearly or whatever subscription. And then you got the boxes.
Mm-hmm.
What's the most, like, where do people get their papers from? Is it through the subscription, or do they just go buy one as needed?
Yeah, for the most part, it's going to be subscription, but we have had a pretty good increase with the single copy sales of the newspaper boxes. Mm-hmm. It's funny that you asked that, though, because, like, last year, about this time, to be honest with you, we actually had a pretty bad epidemic throughout parts of the county of, like, people stealing several newspapers out of boxes. They would put in, like, yeah. 75 cents and steal, like, 100 newspapers. So, like, yeah. And it was crazy because there was one night it was, like, me and five other people who worked for the Daily Journal, we actually had a stakeout one night in the county, and we were just kind of watching different newspaper boxes.
Like to catch a predator or
yeah,
newspaper edition.
Yeah. Right. And it was insane, too, because, like, there were four people that we actually caught, and we turned over their names to the Monroe County Sheriff's Office and pressed charges, and actually one of them was actually a pastor.
Oh, no.
And guess what?
It's like, if you get busted stealing paper, we're going to put you in the paper
yeah, exactly.
that you stole paper.
We called him out. Exactly. We called him out.
Yeah. I mean, theft is theft. I mean, that's straight up stealing. I mean,
yeah.
That's no different than, you know, kicking in a Coke machine and stealing
exactly.
a bunch of Cokes.
Exactly.
It's illegal. It's stealing. And I actually wasn't going to bring that up because I was afraid to give people any bad ideas. But since you brought it up,
yeah.
I was going to say when I was in high school, we used to have to turn in these reports from a newspaper article. Like, we would have to cut out an article
mm-hmm.
and, like, kind of, I think it was like, this is a long time ago, we'd have to write our take on the information in the news and attach the article to it and just do a write-up about it as part of our project for a certain class.
Mm-hmm.
And there was only one newspaper box in Smithville at the time. Well, this one guy would go raid it, and then, no, it gets worse. Not only did he steal all the papers, but he would sell them to the people that needed the papers to do their project over and mark it up.
Oh, my.
Because they would all go by, they'd be like, oh, no, the papers are sold out, and they would show up at school, and this one guy had, like, a stack of
them. Like the Candyman.
If you're listening to this, don't do that because you will go to jail. It is illegal.
Yeah, that's right. You never know who might be watching.
We are
on
watching
a Tuesday
you.
Night. No doubt about it.
I'm all about justice. We may go out there and help you stalk some of those online. We'll be the Batman of the Monroe Journal. Right. That's awesome. Well, going back to this, the MC, as you're calling it, one thing that the reason I was asking you about the history behind it and stuff is because I've watched it evolve. It's gotten a lot bigger, and it's gotten more, like, all the pages are, like, color now.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was noticing, like, the section you do in the entertainment and for the Railroad Festival, like, all the pictures are in color now,
mm-hmm.
and it seems like, I guess, you've gotten more sponsors and funding, and it's kind of grown, so it's obviously working, what you're doing. Have you seen it grow? I mean, is it something exponential?
Yeah, I mean, I really have. When I came on board, I looked at several of the older ones, and it just seemed like it was the exact same story over mm-hmm. and over every single year.
Yeah.
I said, we can't stay stale like this. We got to start switching it up.
Yeah.
So that's one of my goals, is to try to do something different every single year. But, I mean, there's always going to be elements that are always going to be there, like the entertainment bios, for example, which, I mean, it's a lot of work. That's actually the biggest project of the year for us. But I think it's definitely worthy because, I mean, as big of an event as the Railroad Festival is for Monroe County, I mean, that's going to be the main information source for it. So, I mean, we work hand-in-hand with the Railroad Festival for it. So,
right on. If you're wondering what I'm doing over here, I'm making myself notes.
I
wasn't emailing my aunt or anything. This is my version of your spiral bound there. When I'm interviewing somebody, I'll think of a question, and I don't want to interrupt them, so I type it down real quick so I don't forget it. That's another thing that made me think of another question is the way things are printed now versus, well, I don't want to say the old days because I know we're way past the printing press, but it seems like it's easier to get things in color and stuff like that printed nowadays than it probably used to be. Does that apply to y'all? I mean, is it easier to get things like that done in color, and is it cheaper now or easier now?
And the way that works, to be honest with you, is just like with the newspaper, if it's color, if it's black and white, it all boils down to advertising revenue. Somebody wants a color ad on a certain page, I mean, they start grouping as many color ads on that page as possible, and that's what makes that page color for news content as well. But with the Railroad Festival program, I mean, more and more people are buying into it. So, I mean, that's a good thing. Because, yeah, at the end of the day, it all boils down to advertising, how big and how good something is. So,
speaking of advertising, in case there's any listeners out there that would have a business or something they would like to become a sponsor of this, how can they go about it? They just call the office?
Absolutely. Yeah, we'll always take some extra business. And that telephone number is 662-256-5647. We'll be happy to help you out. Thanks for that shameless plug. I need the bell right there.
Yeah, we need a bell for you. Yeah, that's what it's all about. I mean, when you told me you wanted to do this thing and put us in your MC, I was like, well, we need to hype it, you know, we need to get an interview with you and talk about it, let everybody know how to get a hold of it. Speaking of which, when it does come out, how are the different ways that somebody can get a copy of it?
Yeah, what we always try to do is just pretty well blanket the whole county and go to like any doctor's office, hospital, restaurant, grocery store, wherever. If all else fails, stop by the newspaper office, which is right across the street from Frisco Park and Amory.
Yep.
But yeah, we just try to, any business possible, we just try to blanket it. So,
now, are those free?
Yeah, they are. They are.
So just anybody can come in and just
grab a handful, as many as you want.
There you go, people. People like free stuff.
Yeah, they love free stuff. This is a great thing to keep on your coffee table for years. And it's cool, too, because, like, we've had people call the office and say, well, you know, I found this magazine on a doctor's waiting table in Columbia, Mississippi. How can I get some more? So it's cool how it circulates.
That really is cool.
Yeah. We'll stop by there and we'll get Ray Van Dusen
to sign it. Yeah.
We'll sign it. We'll start handing out free.
I'm your biggest fan. That I was gonna say, like, I've got last year's 2015-16. Do you archive all those? Do you have a copy? If I wanted like a massive collection from, because you know we're coming up on the 10th anniversary of the second stage next year.
Oh yeah,
I'd like to get everyone from the, at least from the railroad festivals. How do you archive stuff like that?
Yeah,
microfiche thing going on, or you got
now? Like, we've still got digital copies that we keep, and then we always keep some hard copies going back so many years of everything. So we should be able to accommodate.
What's that like archiving? Like all not just this, but like everything. Like, is that a, do you just have like this huge storage bin where you just throw in copies of the paper? Or?
To be honest with you, we actually call it the morgue. And seriously. So, like, it's just a whole bunch of cubby holes.
This is where the dead news goes. This is where the news goes today.
But yeah, it's just a big series of cubby holes, like 52 cubby holes. So, like, we'll keep so many copies of each week's paper in those cubby holes and just keep it for so many years and just start chunking them. So
you have people that do research on stuff that come to y'all a lot and say, hey, I need, let's say, a paper from, you know, 1997 or whatever. Does that happen?
Ironically, I actually have an attorney friend who called me this morning from Aberdeen, and he said, well, I got a call earlier today from New York City And apparently somebody's trying to write a memoir about some kind of embezzlement case that happened in federal court in Aberdeen in 1944. They said, I can't find the records at the court.
Sure, I've got it right here.
Yeah. So I went up to the attic because we've actually got bound copies that are like huge books of like old newspapers. So I said, well, let me go up in the attic and see if I can find it. So I found the 1944 bound copy of the Aberdeen Examiner. So I said, well, I got it right in my hands.
Nice.
I said, we'll have to go through and search for this story, but I guarantee we can probably find it.
That's interesting. That seems like that would be a job in itself, just being an archiver of all this, because, I mean, you got a paper a week coming out.
Yeah.
And at some point it goes probably from the cubby hole to the bound.
Yeah, actually, every year we put out more bound copies, and they're available like at our office, the Aberdeen and Amory libraries, the Chancery Court in Aberdeen, and two city halls in Aberdeen.
I hope that person gets paid good.
Yeah, really. I mean, that seems like that'd be a lot of work.
And I don't know.
Because that could get really messy really quick.
I'm sure of that.
And all that's right there at y'all's office? Is that where the morgue is?
Yeah, the morgue is there, but like as far as the bound copies, we actually outsource that to another company in South Mississippi. And they just every 6 months, these things just magically appear at the office.
Nice.
Nice. So is there...
Work smarter than us.
Is there also like you said, in libraries they have like the microfilm and they go back. Like you see this in movies where they'll go get the little... Is that what that's called? What do they call that? Microfish?
Yeah,
and they'll put it on there, like, and they got the big screen. And they flip through it, and it click, click, click. What is that? Is that real? Is that Hollywood interfering with the news?
It was real when I was in college doing research papers. As far as since then, though, a lot's changed since 1998, so we don't do that anymore.
Do they still keep copies of the old papers and stuff at the library, too?
Well, we got the bound copy available at the libraries, but as far as just like lease copies of the paper, I wouldn't think. Right. I think they would probably chunk them after so long.
Right.
But it's crazy because in the Monroe County Chancery Building in the basement, they've got old bound copies of the newspapers dating back to the 1800s. Holy and crap. It was like you barely touch the page and it's just so brittle. Yeah, it's crazy.
Wow. That's crazy. I can't believe they keep... I mean, your morgue has to be huge. That's a lot of papers.
Well, so we don't go that quite as bad.
But you're back to 44. You got a paper from every week from 1944 to 2007.
Basically, yeah.
Golly.
It's pretty crazy.
That's a lot of freaking paper, man.
It is.
That's the spicy meatball.
Wow.
But yeah, I think it dates back to like the 30s for what we have.
Oh, crap.
For the Examiner, I think. Lots of history, no doubt about it.
Well, I guess you didn't know we were going to go on like a history lesson here with newspapers. But that's interesting. I think
we'll take whatever the question is.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's interesting. I'm interested. I want to see the morgue. I just want to see the paper from 1930s.
Yeah.
I'll put my white gloves on so I don't break
it. Come on. Hey, the invitation's always there for you guys.
Right. You got to put them on those little ventilators, too. So little mask. Breathe on the corner of
it. So my nasty breath doesn't yellow the pages.
No, just in case we breathe, the pages just go flop and just crack and break off at the corners or something.
I would just like to read a paper from the 40s in Amory. Like, what do they talk about?
Oh, it's crazy. It is insane.
You have to read it in that old-time radio voice, though.
Oh.
Farmer Bob's cow died today. Locals from the community gather around to say their final respects.
And believe it or not, I mean, there is some crazy stuff like that. I mean, like, some of the old obituaries from, like, the 1940s, you know, it might be talking about how, you know, such and such was a fine gardener and different things like that.
But, well, I noticed one thing in the obituaries and stuff now, too. Like, used to, when I was a kid, you could read the obituary, and it told how the person died.
Yeah.
Because I've still got the newspaper clipping talking about my grandpa dying, you know, of cancer and stuff. They don't put that in the paper anymore. That's too sensitive kind of
stuff. Yeah, I mean, you just don't see it as often as you used to.
Right.
I mean, from time to time, but...
It's more of the obituary is more celebrating that person's life than it is, you know, getting on to the sad part of how things happen. So, you know, I can see that. I can respect that.
Yeah. That's just one of those evolving things that goes with the newspaper, no doubt about it.
Yeah. I remember this lady used to call my mom, I think because mom called them to report something about the Smithville News, and then she started calling her as a contact to just, like, get
hey, what's going on?
Yeah, she would call her and just like, hey, what's going on in Smithville?
Yeah,
and they would put it in the paper. Mom would be like, well, my grandkids are coming down this weekend. Yeah. And they put it in the paper.
One of the community news things. Yeah.
You got the Wren, you got the West Amy.
Yeah.
All of it. You know, that makes, you know, makes sense.
It's like, Mom, you can really manipulate the media right now. But, yeah, I don't want to keep you much longer. I know you probably got a lot of stuff to do, but I definitely wanted to plug this. Tell us again when it's coming out, everywhere they can get it, and also, you know, the Monroe Journal itself. Even if you don't live in this area, the Monroe Journal is awesome. I'm assuming even if you live in like Massachusetts, you could still subscribe to the Monroe Journal and get it through the mail, right?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
It's not just a local thing.
Absolutely, yeah. Anybody who's interested in taking out a subscription can just call 662-256-5647 if you want to just kind of check us out, see what it's all about. www.monroecountyjournal.com and follow us on Twitter and Facebook too. We're definitely out there.
Just like what, Monroe 360?
Well, it used to be, but now they changed it up. Yeah.
So you got a different URL now.
I can't remember what year that was when they did that, but yeah, it's and I think still, if you probably type in monroe360.com, I think it still like transports you to the new site. So.
Right.
And the rates are really reasonable, too, on that, because I've let mine lapse. I need to re-up, but the last time I took the paper, I called to do a yearly subscription, and I can't remember what it was, but it was really cheap, but they said, you know, for a few bucks more, you can do, like, 3 years. And I was like, well, yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty sweet.
They were doing, like, a special or something.
Yeah, we do specials pretty often, too. Yeah. Like, I think that, like, the normal rate is, like, $34 a year, but then sometimes we might do like $15 a year depending on what the promotion is. Right. So,
that's crazy cheap.
Yeah, no doubt about it. It's cheaper than going to the newspaper box and legitimately buying one every week.
And so, it's more reliable than going on Facebook for your information.
Exactly.
Or it's going to the little mailbox things and putting 75 cents in, and there not be a single copy.
Yeah, that exactly.
Took 100 copies.
We're going to fix that. I have a new hobby now.
Yeah.
I'm going to be newspaper Batman.
Batman, and I'll be newspaper Red Hood.
I can just picture this. Somebody like creeps up to a newspaper box. They look both ways. They put their money in. They pull it open. They grab one. They take one more look over their shoulder. They grab another one. All of a sudden, a batarang hits right next to them. We surround them and pull up with our cars with the lights on and everything. Oh, that's funny. But yeah, man, I appreciate you coming out. Once again, we always have a blast when you come around.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Really looking forward to this MC coming out in July.
June. The last Wednesday, the 28th.
28th, yeah.
I marked it on the calendar just now.
Nice.
Cool. We're going to be talking about it and plugging it all, leading all the way up.
Yeah, thanks for the publicity.
Thank you for the publicity, for
it's
sure.
Like a month absolutely. Late. That's insane. That's like literally a month away.
That is crazy. Time flies by.
Got a lot of work to do between now and then.
Hey, we're almost done.
There you go.
A circle is not left or right anything.
No, but you gotta start somewhere.
You gotta start somewhere. Okay, that's fine. But clockwise is a circle. Counterclockwise is another circle.
Okay, well, if you see what your hand
left
going,
and right is a line.
Would you know it's a direction?
Going counterclockwise, you went.
Okay, if somebody's giving you directions and they say take a left, you go, ooh, let me do a bunch of circles right here. Because that's what that means.
No, it tells you to take a 45-degree turn.
No, so, it doesn't.
So
no.
You take a 45-degree turn on a left turn.
You've accepted the lies that you've been taught your whole life about Lefty Loosey, Righty Tighty.
All right, yeah, for everybody that is listening to this part, we just hit record because this is a heated debate. Oh, yeah, we're recording.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's not a debate. It's lies that we've been taught our whole life.
It's a conspiracy.
All right, Mark does not
The term Lefty Loosey, Righty Tighty is bullshit.
Mark does not believe in that at all.
It's bullshit. It's a circle. You don't go left or right in a circle. Boom. End of story. It's lies.
I honestly wish we could put the Voxer message from earlier today on here where they could get the whole effect.
I can play it.
That would be amazing.
I don't even remember what I said.
I just think it's so funny.
You were trying to take the
sentence on Voxer before you said, and don't give me that bullshit about Lefty.
That's right, because yeah. I was trying to unscrew the thing, the bolt on the chainsaw. I'm not going to go left. I'm going to go in a damn circle.
It's a circle. It's not left.
Don't listen to Voxer when Mark and Kelly are having a good argument like that, because you will wreck. I almost did.
Only me and Kelly would argue through Voxer.
Yeah.
Which is, yeah. We have delayed arguments.
No, that Voxer's pretty much like right live. So. So I mean, it's just like being in the same room arguing.
We will interweave a conversation within an argument, though, because I'll box him and I'll be like, yeah, we're gonna meet up tomorrow about 6 o'clock and we're gonna get everything together for the show and all that. And by the way, that Lefty Loosey bullshit, I ain't gonna go for that either.
And for those who don't know out there in podcast world, Voxer is an app that we use to communicate with each other.
Yeah, I think we talked about Voxer.
We
want to
be cool and play on walkie talkies.
Have we talked about Voxer on here before?
No, vaguely. Maybe.
I think we've mentioned it.
I think we mentioned the big guy.
Yeah, the conversation with the big guy. Yeah, I listened to Ryback's podcast, and they use Voxer.
Communicate with Kill Pop Culture. Just boxed two hosts of the show. Whenever they have a question.
Yeah, just add us. There you go.
Hey, there you go.
Yeah, that means I got your.
This is why we have the producer.
No,
I don't care. They just add you on Voxer.
What's my name on Voxer? Cletus Van Damme. That's what I use.
Mark
the most
Van Dam, yeah.
Mark
yeah,
Van Dam.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Mark Van Dam.
And I'm just Germ Farah. No, we don't want to.
Blurry Face is already taken.
Don't ever get on Blurry Face.
Well, when we have groups too. Like we have the Kill Pop Culture group, and Boredom. Yeah, Boredom. You created one called Boredom.
No,
Boredom.
Laura did.
They're labeled. Look to the left.
That's Anthony.
Me? I'm phoning.
He is.
Okay.
Trust me.
We can amplify.
Right, because I thought I was getting like spammed or something. What the fuck is Blurry? I'm going to have to bleep that out.
Crap is burning it. Blurry Face.
I forget we're recording. So, speaking of podcasts, I guess we need to get back to. This has been an interesting podcast, by the way, because during the intro, I said that I was going to do the intro and then the outro and try to upload it that night, which was Friday night when we did the intro. Well, in typical time travel fashion, a lot's happened since the intro. For everybody listening, it's only been like, I don't know, 45, 50 minutes. But for us, it's been a couple of days.
Yeah.
I get a call at 11:30. After we do the intro, I get a call at 11:30 and from Barry Wrong, and he's stranded in Detroit, Alabama, and I had to go pick him up. So my whole thing about the show, hoping that, you know, we put this out before the show, that didn't happen. We already did the show, but it was a good show.
A good show. I enjoyed it. The venue was really small, but the crowd was amazing.
You said the video was small?
The venue.
He said venue.
Oh, it sounded like you said video.
Tractor Jimmy showed up.
Tractor Jimmy not got here, man.
I'm glad I can edit you out whenever I feel like it. So, Kelly, you're standing right here. What did you think about the show? You're a sound guy and you're always honest.
Well, I actually was behind the board for a while helping Rob, and I did a little bit of tweaking, but, dude, it sounded great to me.
What kind of tweaking?
For the venue, that venue is really hard to mix because it is so small.
Because you get a lot of slapback.
Oh, a lot. But it sounded great. Now, the videos I recorded, they don't really portray that. But everything else live ears, yes, they loved it. And the crowd responded to it, too.
What kind of tweaking did you have to do? I'm sure my part was fine.
Well, for my normal Mark Klingon tweaking, I had to cut the highs out.
Just did a gentle, like...
I just think it's cool you said slapback.
Yeah.
I got to cut all the highs out of your voice.
It's crazy in a small place, when, especially if it's too loud, the sound just bounces around everywhere. But like in the old days when we used to play Court Street, it was like a long, narrow hall, so the sound would escape and it would never come back.
Yeah, because it had that.
Because it had a long way to go. There was no slapback, which made it like different, like kind of weird. You had to like. You had to compensate.
But for you, you've always got to cut the highs out.
You have natural highs.
Yeah, and that's why you basically got to kill them through the board.
I get you high, girl.
A good treble mix, a good mid. And then, of course, you add a lot of low end just to keep feedback from coming through.
I guess in 20 years, this is the first I've heard that Mark Klingon has his own EQ setting.
Yep.
I've got my own frequencies.
Well, that's because normally...
Why did I use that accent?
Are you a pirate now?
I don't know. Maybe. Why not?
Don't bring out any rum.
Okay, so we've established...
you have your own EQ frequencies.
And we've also established that this podcast literally has taken 8 days total. Like, Monday night, we interviewed Elbow.
Tuesday, we interviewed Ray.
And he interviewed us.
Yeah.
And then
Friday we did
the intro, and today is Sunday, and we're doing the outro.
Yeah. We would have done the outro Saturday, but we had the show, so.
Well, here's another good thing about this, is that Anthony is with us also, and we talked about the mead in the intro. Well, since then, since you've had a couple days, you know, you were talking about the... You were saying that stuff had settled down and you were kind of worried about it, but now you know that that's okay.
I've done some research and it's common.
I think we've talked about the mead enough on the air now to where we really need to drink it on the air.
Well, how long do we got to wait till we can drink it?
You're going to have to listen to episode 70, which is what we're doing now.
That brings up a good thing. Episode 100, I will bring out the mead.
Nice.
So we're talking another year.
Oh,
I got two one gallon fermenters.
You cut me deep, Shrek.
I got 2 1-gallon fermenters. We're gonna sample one right as soon as you get through fermenting, and I'll let the other one age until it's supposed to be, and that's when we'll crack it open 100.
So we're at episode 70. We got 30 more episodes to go. We can either do a podcast a day. Or at least one a week.
Let's do 35-minute podcasts starting right now.
I know.
I think we'll sample the first one and just see how it goes, just because it's just going to be, you know, high alcohol sweetness, and then we'll wait until episode 100 to pop out.
It's 10:30 at night, and you brought over some really good scotch. What was that called?
They can't call it scotch
because it was made in Alabama.
Opelika, Alabama. We need to tag this guy in the show or somehow or another. It's John Emerald. John Emerald, John's Alabama Single Malt Whiskey. It's some pretty good. It's amazing whiskey. It's good stuff.
The only reason I want to see it is because I spent a John Wayne some more of it.
John Wayne it right now. On air, John Wayne it.
Hey.
John Emerald, John Wayne.
I'm going to try to get the cork pop on the microphone.
Oh yeah,
nice. Tell them about the barrels.
It's made with malt whiskey distilled from pecan and peachwood, smoked malted barley. It's a good whiskey if you like whiskey.
It's got a really good flavor. It's not overpowering.
It don't deserve to be drank out of a bottle like we're doing right now. But.
No, at all.
We got Memorial Day tomorrow. We're all off work, so we're up late drinking. We've been grilling some good food. We got a fire going. We've been playing some loud music, and I'm glad we got this intro done. I don't know when I'm going to finish editing all this.
Shout out to our fallen heroes out there.
Absolutely. This is Memorial Day, so shout out to the fallen veterans. I want to plug and thank everybody that came out to the show last night. It was a good show. We had a great time. Us, Seeking Seven, and Five Stories. Everybody killed it. I even did okay. We had an after party over at Barry Wrong and Kelly's house. It was good.
We need everybody to post their nerd.
Yes.
Show us your nerd.
Show us your nerd. That's your idea, so you need to be the one to tell everybody your idea, because that's a good idea.
Everybody has a...
Explain it.
What is nerd? What is geek? What is this podcast talk about on a whenever... basis or whatever they
monthly basis.
Monthly basis. Show us your... Everybody's got a nerd room. Everybody's got a nerd closet. Collection corner or whatever. I put my Arkham Horror game out on a display in my living room floor the other day. That's one of my little nerdy things. Everybody's got their comic books. They got strode out in their long boxes in their utility room, or their D&D books. They got stacked up in a little corner of their bookcase or whatever. Take a picture of it. Tag Kill Pop Culture in it. Show us your nerd. Hashtag, yeah. Show us your nerd.
Yeah, how did we say we're going to do that? We're going to do, if you post it, do hashtag show us your nerd and hashtag Kill Pop Culture.
Hashtag Kill Pop _ Culture. Right?
I don't hear it buzzing.
It was. Yeah. You got it.
I get it. Hashtag Kill Pop Culture, hashtag show us your nerd, and we'll call you out on the air.
Yeah.
There you go.
You know, and I can vouch for Anthony on this, because I went by his house the other day, because actually we went to Elbow's comic store the same day. But I'll walk in and he's got this, the picture that you see doesn't do it justice. Oh my God, it was amazing. I was like, yeah, we're going to learn to play this too. We just had an all around nerd day, that nerd moment.
Oh, yeah.
That day.
We you had to help me put the Arkham Horror game up, and then we went up there, and I hadn't played Magic the Gathering in like 10 years, and I bought some cards up there
I bought comic
at Elbow Shop. That'd be my next show my nerd, is I'll show all my Magic cards and I'll take a picture of them.
All right, we need to get out of here.
Ride off into the sunset.
We're going to ride off into the moonlight. Thanks for listening to episode 70 of Kill Pop Culture, broadcasting live from High Top, the first and only floor.
Nope, there's two floors now. Remember, we got
to it doesn't feel right. It's just like Lefty Loosey. It's
not Lefty Loosey, Righty Tighty.
So I'm going to get out of here. We got some more beer to drink. I'm going to try to get some more of that Alabama whiskey off of Anthony.
That fake Alabama scotch.
It's not fake.
It's not fake.
It's not from
good.
Scotland.
I drink a lot of scotch.
But every time I take a sip of that, I'm going to tell Scotland her sons are free.
Yeah.
Alabama, your sons are free.
Yeah. Alabama, sons are free.
They can't take your freedom.
All right. I gotta go. Love you, bye.
Love you, mean it.
See you later, bye.
How many sweaty guys asked us to ride a bull that weekend?